proceed is to compare the actual performance of the process with some target, with some desired performance. There will be a performance gap that needs to be addressed. So what is the right decision? There are two possibilities, there are two options. One possibility is to opt for working harder. The manager will, based on this performance gap, increase the pressure to do work so that people spend more time working, so that the actual performance increases. And when the actual performance increases, the performance gap will decrease. So we have a feedback loop that is balancing. It's B for balancing. It's the first balancing feedback loop that we detect in this problem. So that's why we put in B1. And the name is work harder, which represents the decision. Work more time, which can be by reducing the breaks, drinking less coffee, spending extra hours, whatever. And the manager can achieve this by all kind of acts that increase the pressure to do work. By doing this, the performance gap will be decreased. But remember, time is a limited resource. The day has a limited amount of hours. But not only that, working more and more means also having less time for other things, also less time to recover, so people can get tired, and so on and so on. So there are limits to what you can do by working harder. So the balancing loop is one option to close the performance gap. The other one is to convince, to act pressure to improve their capability. So this is the new link that you are seeing, thick here. So if the decision is more pressure to improve capability, which means more time spent on improvement, then you get another loop. And this is also a balancing loop, because more, if the performance gap by some reason increases, because you set the goals higher, then this could lead to increase pressure to improve capability, which will lead to more time improvement, which with some time delay will increase the investment in capability, which with some time delay will lead to more capability, which will then increase the performance and help them close the gap. So there we have another balancing loop. It is the second one. We call it B2, balancing loop 2, and its name is work smarter, because the idea is to do things better, more effectively, by improving the processes that we are using to achieve the performance. So this balancing loop is another option to close the performance gap. Okay? But then, the two decisions are connected. Because if you are increasing the pressures to do more work, to more time spent working, then at the same time you are reducing the time spent on improvement. So this new link here causes or creates another feedback loop. What kind of feedback loop is it? Let's have a look at it. Suppose the gap has increased. If the gap has increased, then the pressure to do work has positive polarity, so more gap means more pressure to do work. More pressure to do work means less time spent on improvement. less time spent on improvement means less investment in capability. Less investment in capability means, because the capability is decreasing by erosion, that the actual performance decreases. So by decreasing the actual performance, the gap increases. So an increase in the gap leads, by this logic, to a further increase in the gap. But it depends on the decision that you have taken. Because suppose that the decision was more pressure to improve capability, less pressure to do work. So the gap increases, less pressure to do work means more time on improvement, which means more investment in capability, which means higher capability, which means higher actual performance, which then closes the gap, which means you can less work on less pressure to work, more time on investment, and so on. So this reinforcing loop will then reinforce the decision to do less pressure to do work, and this will decrease the gap, which will means allow you to reduce the pressure to do work, to spend more time on improvement, to spend more time on investment on capability, to invest more in capability, to increase the capability, to increase the performance, and so on. So the reinforcing loop, we call it reinvestment, because it will reinforce or reinvest whatever decision you made. So if the senior manager opts for working harder, this reinforcing loop will force the workers to work harder and harder and harder and harder. It's acting as a vicious loop, forcing people to work to exhaustion, because the limits are there. You cannot pressure the people to work even harder and harder and harder. But that's what the loop is doing. So it's working in a negative way. It is a vicious loop. Whereas if the decision is to work smarter, this reinforcing loop will improve the performance, which means it will allow you to work even more smart, which will reduce the pressure to work hard and allow even more time to work creatively and improve the capability. So the reinforcing loop reinforces whatever decision the senior management has made. If they opted to working harder, it will force the people to work harder. If they decided to work smarter, it will then give more freedom to work smarter. So here you see the two aspects of the reinforcing loop. And reinforcing loop can, in the one direction, reinforce good things, so it is a virtuous loop, or in the other direction, it can reinforce bad things, so it acts as a vicious loop. And here it depends on the decision of the management as to whether they favor working harder or working smarter. Is that all? No, actually not, because there is still one more connection to consider. And the connection you see here, because time, and here you have to consider time in terms of hours per week that can be dedicated to work. So if you have 100 workers and say each worker works 40 hours a week, then you have 100 times 40, which means 4,000 hours per week for work. So if you consider this pool of hours, say 4,000 hours per week, which you have in your company, then time spent on improvement and time spent working add to the total. So if you increase the one, you decrease the other. So that means that we have this link here. You spend more time on improvement, that means less time spent working. Or you spend less time on improvement, that means you spend more time on actually working. So that means now that you have to consider this loop here. What kind of loop is this one? Well, suppose the gap increases. Suppose that leads to more pressure to do work then, because of this link, which means less time on improvement, which means more time spent working, which means more actual performance, which means closing the gap. So this loop, the B3, is also a balancing loop. Why do we call it shortcuts? We could also call it cutting corners. suppose the company has been working on improvement so much time, and then you face a crisis. You have to deliver some service or some product in time, and you are delayed. Then typically what the management will say is, we don't have now time to spend on improvement. Now we have to work harder so as to achieve the deadline. This is cutting corners. This is taking a shortcut, because you are taking the people who were supposed to invent new processes to help those who have to deliver something. You are cutting corners, you are forgetting improvement. And we will see the consequences of this. Ultimately, as you see, the balancing loop shortcuts will be activated whenever you have the time pressure that forces the management to deallocate resources from working smarter to working harder. Let's now simulate so to understand what will happen. We have two questions. First question, what happens if the senior management in the organization by some reason decides to increase the time working hard, which will be at the expense of time working smart? The other question will be the opposite. What happens if a senior management decides to increase the time working smart? Okay, let's look at the next two slides. The first slide shows what happens if senior management increases the time working hard at the expense of time working smart. So let's look at the upper slide. Originally, just to give an example, in the company, 20 hours are spent working smart and the remainder working hard. That's originally here. And then from month 5 here, suppose the amount of time working hard is increased until you are down to, say, only 12, 13 hours working smart, and the remainder, which is 28 hours working hard. What happens is the actual performance increases for a while. Why? Because working hard immediately leads to more results. This was the logic. In the end, the performance will decrease. Why? Because in the background, you are losing capability. If you are not spending time improving your processes, while the processes, because of age, errors, deterioration, or also by competition that the other are doing better, your capability is becoming relatively less and less. So your actual performance will increase while the working harder effect is dominant. But as the capability is decreasing and decreasing, your actual performance will decrease. So that means that the decision to work hard will lead to a better before worse behavior. Since this takes time, very often the senior management interprets the decision as being the correct one. You see, people are too lazy, they are working not enough, now I act pressure and they are working harder. And then when sometime later, and this can take months or even years, the performance decreases, then typically the senior management will not understand what happened, because they don't have the insight in the process. They will rather tie to their simple conclusion, that's because the people are no longer working hard enough. And typically they will go back and reapply the same kind of medicine, force the people to work even harder again. And this, of course, they can do for a while, but ultimately what they are doing, they are exhausting the workers, they are decreasing the morale, and sooner or later perhaps the people will react to this pressure, but actually working less because they feel frustrated from the continuous pressure that doesn't lead anywhere. But anyhow, the decision to work hard seems to be the correct one for a while, because typically the senior manager will look at the immediate results. And often the senior manager has solved the crisis of the company, and then they leave with increased options and shares and so on, and take over a new company where they are welcome as the saviors because they have a record of having saved the previous company. In the meantime, whoever is now the successor in the organization encounters the situation where they are declining, and nobody will say that's the fault of the previous manager. It's now your fault. It's your problem. Okay, let's look now at the working smart. Suppose now, instead of working harder, the decision is to work smarter. What happens? In terms of the performance will decrease. It will decrease because the output, the throughput, is directly connected to the time spent working. This happens without delay. If you spend less time on doing the processes and whatever, and you put the people on thinking to improve, the thinking to improve will not immediately give results, so the performance is going to become worse for a while, because in the background the investment in improving the processes is increasing their capability, and that means with some delay the performance will increase, and it will increase kind of forever, because yeah, now you have a better process. The problem is working smart will lead to a worse before better behavior. And many managers that embark on a quality improvement process, they didn't understand that the price for improving things, unless you are giving more resources to production or to throughput, will be that you have a decrease on performance. And that's why many processes of process improvement, quality improvement processes, are abandoned, are stopped over time, because they seem to go in the wrong direction. So that seems to be the solution to the paradox of the why quality improvement processes only in a minority of the cases are sustained and lead to success. Because the managers who have taken the decision on working smart, which is what a quality improvement process is, they don't understand that this will, other things being equal, to a works before a better behavior. If they understood that well, then the decision would be, while we are installing or designing the quality improvement processes, we have to compensate with additional resources so as to avoid this dip in performance, which is temporary, until we have developed better processes that allow us to outperform our competitors. The problem often is that while you are actually in the process of working smart, this process can be destabilized through the shortcuts loop. So if we go back to slide 17, actually 16, so suppose the management is now prioritizing inventions, innovations to improve capability. So this is going in the right direction. This balancing loop is helping to close the gap. The reinforcing loop is going in the right direction. It is a virtuous loop. But suppose there is some crisis, some deadlines, the company has to deliver some products by some deadline or finish some project by some deadline, then it can happen that the senior management takes the people off from the improvement and put them on the working harder so as to achieve the deadline. This is going to decrease the effectiveness of the process, and by the logic that we saw here, the capability will start decreasing and you are risking to fall into the trap of decreasing and getting the reinforcing loop to go in the wrong direction, which is the capability trap. The capability trap occurs when you are in a situation that the reinforcing loop is reinforcing the bad decisions. It is acting as a vicious one, and this can occur even if you have opted for working smart through the effect of the balancing loop, the shortcuts loop. And this has happened in practice. We will see that later in connection with the work that my previous PhD student Johannes Wieck did related to computer security incident response teams. Okay. The next slide is taken from analysis of bad performers in two different branches: manufacturers, which could be, for instance, automobile industry, or IT. And that shows how things actually run in practice. So, for instance, and they show the situation when you are caught in the reinforcing loop that is pushing you in the wrong direction. So, supervisors never had time to make improvements or to do preventative maintenance. They had to spend all their time just trying to keep the line going. A quality problem might not be discovered until we have produced a pile of defective parts. In IT, deep down, everyone knows that people circumvent proper processes because crippling outages, finger pointing, and phantom changes run rampant. A cowboy culture where seemingly nimble behavior has promoted destructive side effects. The sense of agility is all too often a delusion. Manufacturers. We didn't have time to figure out why the problem happened in the first place, since we were now really behind our production schedule. It was a kind of snowball effect that just kept getting worse. Read that again. It was a kind of snowball effect that just kept working, getting worse. Snowball effect. That's a reinforcing loop going in the vicious direction. The snowball is becoming bigger and bigger. The problem is becoming bigger and bigger as it is rolling down the hill. So this is a very clear indication that there is a reinforcing loop that is a vicious loop. That is the reinvestment loop. Look at the IT. A pager culture where IT operations believe that true control simply is not possible and that they are doomed to an endless cycle of break fix triggered by a pager message, at late hours of the night. Again, the situation that you get when you are in a reinforcing loop, which is vicious. Manufacturers, they had to hit their part counts. If you were having a bad day and your yield had fallen, you had to run like crazy to hit your target. You could say, you are making 20% garbage. And they would say, I cannot hit my part count without running like crazy. They could never get ahead of the game. Again, the a clear expression that you have a reinforcing loop that is vicious, that is acting in the wrong direction. Similar in IT, an environment where IT operations and security are constantly in a reactive mode, with little ability to figure out how to free themselves from firefighting long enough to invest in any proactive work. So this is very well documented, and there is a huge literature to this that seems to then to support the findings that were done by Ripening and Sturman with their students, PhD students and associate professors at MIT, which is really a classic work. And I very strongly recommend you to read the classic paper by Ripening and Sturman, which is the paper You never get credit for fixing problems that never happened. I believe this is in Fronta. If not, I will upload it again. I have to check that. Okay. Whereas good performers, what is the characteristics of good performers? Because they are in a mode where the reinforcing loop is virtuous, you have sufficient slack, sufficient time to plan and to attend to the planned work. So you are not in a reactive mode being chased by situations that you couldn't anticipate. You are doing in a way that is planned. The different functions in the enterprise are well connected and they are assisting each other, as rather as to being chaotic. The management understands the need to improve into change. Improvement means changing things. And they have developed such a culture, which again, through the reinforcing loop, will give you more slack and more possibilities to continue this way. A culture of causality means that they look for reasons for when things happen. They simply want to understand what is going on, as to rather than being chased by events that they don't understand. And they look very much for facts, because in order to understand and to be able to detect the causes, you have to detect what are the facts. Now, let's look back at the standards. Originally, it was the ISO 17799 that made it very clear that security was to occur as continuous improvement, and this was then further reinforce and establish in the standards 27,000 family. If you look at the seminal book by Calder and Watkins, IT Governance, A Manager Guide to Data Security, and the ISO 27000, it states that the PDCA model, Plan, Do, Check, Act model of ISO 27000 should be a continuous improvement process, or it is a continuous improvement process. And as early as in 2002, the British standard 7999, which translated to the ISO standard 17799, it was designed in a way that it would encourage the integration of quality with security in the companies. They are, so to speak, two sides of the same coin. And security is becoming more and more like that, because the fact that today everything is intertwined with the digital processes, computers, with networks, with internets and so on, with the Internet of Things and so on, that's increasing even more and more. If you want to summarize the work done at MIT, is that actually it is less important which of the different approaches for quality or security improvement you pursue. The point is to get them working, because it takes time to do so, and there are the traps that you have to figure out how to move from working reactively, working hard, to working proactively, working smart. So it is very much the issue as to how to implement them. And that's also the reason why these courses on security, they are about what happens over time. The first course was the security management dynamics, understanding the process over time. And in this course, we go deeper into that and understand that this process over time has to be seen as a process of continuous improvement. And to do that, you have to do it right. You have to work smart. Okay? So now let's look as to how to model security as quality improvement process. Just a moment, I need something for my throat. We will have several examples in this course where we will look at security as a quality improvement process. We will look at computer security incident response teams. We will look at the way integrated operations are conducted offshore. And probably we will have a third example related to security maturity models, which require also a quality improvement process. Okay? Any questions? I can see if there are some connections by Skype. This machine is slow, so I don't know why Skype is so slow at starting, but I have started it. Well, anyhow, in the meantime, I can show you these links. So this is taking some time. Here we get Skype. I'm looking as to whether some external students want to connect by Skype. Very slow. Seems to be that this network here is very, very slow. So let's wait a little bit and see if there are some connections. As I said, you can connect with me by Skype. This is my Skype name. I am going to put that as a message in the front room as well. Okay. Skype is somewhere. Ah, okay. Seem to be some contacts from Skype. Let's see if this is from students. Okay. 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 Theme. I see the IC here. Hey. How do spørsmål? Perhaps I should say it in English. Do you have questions? Or you can call me if you like. So that was Andreas. On the yes button. He seems to be online. That's very nice. So I have answered that he has questions. We can do that by SMS or we can even call. Andreas is writing back, so let's see. No, it was me who. Andreas is now writing. Okay, so Andreas has no specific questions right now, but you can anyhow contact me if you have in between. I will give you some exercises soon to so that gets allows the opportunity to discuss this with also with external students. Now in the background, I click on the link. In front here, and there you have the paper by Repaining and Sturman, which is really a marvelous paper. I recommend you to read it. And you will see that I have borrowed very much of the ideas from this. Later we will adapt them to security. In addition to describing the model, which I have shown you, you see here the slides and so on, it's very similar to what we are doing. Then Hey, Konstantin. And then in this you will see a chapter on the capability trap which I announced. This part is very interesting for you to read because, as we will see soon, this has happened also when quality improvement processes were applied to computer security incident response teams. So the capability trap, that's a short name for even if you are in the process of improving the capability by fostering the working smarter. If you are under time pressure, you can cut corners. You can then work harder for a while. In the meantime, the capability decreases, and sooner or later you find yourself in a reactive mode that forces you to work harder and harder, and you have lost the battle. And this happens, this has happened with processes that we have investigated in security as well. So I recommend you very much to read this paper, which is extremely well written, and that deepens the model that I have shown in the class. The other thing that is very interesting in this paper that you have in the link here is superstitious learning, reinforcement of wrong insights. And this is very well expressed in the section faulty attributions that comes here in the second part of this paper by Repenning and Sturman. Superstitious learning, there you can see that. And how superstitious learning thwarts improvement programs. Superstitious learning is learning wrong things. The way superstition works is that people, for instance, learn that if you see a black cat, then something bad happens. That happens typically, but you see a black cat, and then sooner or later the same day you will read in a newspaper that something bad has happened somewhere in the world. Always bad things are happening. The superstitious learning is connecting these two things that are completely independent, and then from then on you will, every time you see a black cat, look for confirmation, and surely somewhere in the world something bad has happened. That is reinforcing your wrong learning. But this can happen in a very subtle way. And Sturman and Repenning argue here that this happens very often in connection with trying to improve things, because the long delays between doing it right and seeing the effects, and the short delays between doing it wrong and seemingly getting reinforced your wrong impression. This is the difficulty, the main difficulty of continuous improvement, of quality improvements, whether it is in actual process improvement or in security improvement. So I recommend you very much to read this paper, which is a marvelous one, and that will deepen the insights that I presented in the lecture. So it was the link, the quality improvement paradox. Then I have put in some scan from the book IT Governance by Calder and Watkins. So let's look at this link. It is chapter 3, which introduces the questions of the standards in certification. And the reason why I put it here is because you have there the argument that the standards of security are connected to the standards of quality improvement, and that continuous quality improvement is necessary. So that was that link. And then finally, there is a fourth link. Let me see what it is. An introduction to visible ops, yeah, because that's a process for quality improvement in IT. So here you have these links here. Okay, so the model that I presented to you is a model that we can use for investigating quality in security. So we have a number of modeling